Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
It's that same desire to pray for whatever it may be. So it's not always going to be like the whole church praying for the same thing. It might be just one person, might be more than that. The reason I'm even saying this is that there are some things that happen that kind of affect not only a church body, our church body, but it affects our world. And there's nothing wrong with standing together and praying for those situations. And I think we would all agree that that is true for what's going on in Texas right now. I think every time that we watch these news reels or whatever, boy, if it doesn't break your heart, you don't have one. And so, anyway, I was asked this morning if we could get together and pray for Texas, pray for those that have lost loved ones. So this is one time that I think our whole church should do that. So please stand with me. And as I pray, like I said, you just express your heart to the Lord. He's got enough ways to listen to all of us, right? So it's regardless of what my words are, it's our hearts that He's listening to. So just pray as the Lord would lead you. Father God, we just thank You this morning. And we thank You, Lord, as we are able to gather, we're able to come together and come in worship, Lord, come in praise, come in fellowship, come just to see those that we love, Lord, those that You have chosen for us to walk with through this journey, Lord. What a blessing it is, Lord, that we can come together on Sunday morning, Lord. But we know that this Sunday morning, that isn't happening in all places in Texas, Lord. There are people out there that have lost children, have lost maybe a brother or a sister. They've lost their homes, not knowing where tomorrow will be for them. But Lord, one thing that we do know is that You have not left them. You are with them, Lord. I pray that throughout this time they would find You, Lord. Those that have never experienced Your presence in their lives, Lord. It's times like that, Lord, that sometimes they have nowhere else to go. And if it is that way for some, Lord, that they would find You, Lord. You're there, Lord. You're there to bless whatever they're going through, Lord, to strengthen them. And even in times like this, Your word says that joy comes from strength, Lord. Strength comes from joy, Lord. It's all mended together, Lord, that we can be strong, Lord, and we can have joy in knowing that You're with us. So, Lord, we lift up all those families, Lord, that today are going through things that that we wish we never go through, Lord. So thank You for being with us, Lord. Thank You that we can depend on Your presence, Lord, throughout this world, Lord, not just in Texas, that You are doing wonderful things today and You will take care of us, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And remain standing.
Good morning. The Lord convicted me of fear this week because I got over a lot of fear in my life, but I still have some of the chains attached. And the Lord showed me that I still have those chains attached to fear. My husband and I want to drive to Pennsylvania this year, and I have never driven that car across the country. I have a big fear of doing that. And I have let him drive the car all the time. And the Lord convicted me, that's not right. That's not good. You have to step up. If you believe in me, you have to trust me. And in the past, I was in a lot of accidents, you know, with my mom. She was learning to drive, and I was never injured or anything, but I took that fear with me from every accident. And the Lord said, unshackle that fear. You know, I'm here to unshackle that fear for you. So I wrote this morning, and I just thought I'd share it with you. Jesus, to your mighty hands, I release the weight of fear. This weight I have carried way too many a year. It's held me back from serving you by clouding up my vision, thinking that I cannot do something without precision. For I know, Jesus, you're with me and understand past fears. But now I stand unshackled and will trust in your provision and open up the path ahead, for I'm never alone. You go before me in each journey, and you will keep me strong. So pack your bag, fear. To Jesus I belong. And I reference this from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
God died on the cross for us, and he did that because he had... loves us. And that's not all, because there's also God made all the tiny kitties and all the plants and trees and leaves and sticks.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many are glad that God is able? How many know that God is working on you? Is that right? The Bible says that he that began a good work in you will complete it. Is that right? How many know? How many of you are complete already? Yeah. How many know that he's got a lot to do? Isn't that right? I mean, come on, man. Are you confident enough to say, yeah, there's a lot that he needs to do in my life? Can you say amen to that? God is able. His working in you is important to you. Can you say amen? His working, what he does within you is so important to us. Glory to God. God, by his Spirit, is doing things in our lives that we don't even imagine. We can't even think about what's going on within us. But God knows everything about us. Can you say amen to that? Do you understand that God knows you better than you know yourself? He knows what kind of choices you'll make. Can you say amen? He knows beforehand whether you make a good choice or a bad choice. Is that right? And how many know that he wants to keep us in a place where we're making good choices all the time? Is that okay? He wants to lead us and guide us. Is that right? And what did he send to lead us and guide us with? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. How many know that the Holy Spirit, his job is to build the body of Christ? Is that okay? His job is to strengthen the body of Christ to the point that we, as the body of Christ, represent Christ on the earth. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Amen. You yourself represent Christ on the earth. Is that right? Is that right? Jose, is that right? God wants you. God desires to see the body of Christ in action on this earth. Can you say amen to that? In action. Is that right? Not inactive, but in action. Glory to God. We're going to talk about some things today. We're going to look at the things of God and concerning what he's doing in the world today. And I thank God that Liz did bring up for us to pray for those that are hurting. But how many know these things don't take God by surprise? Is that correct? Do you know that flood, God already knew about it? And you know, and it's up to us to understand that, you know, we can trust God in all the decisions he's made. Is that okay? Amen. We can trust him in everything that he's made, for not only for our lives but for the lives of others. Amen. And I tell you, I wouldn't know what. It's a horrible thing to lose children. It really is, especially smaller children. And it's not like God doesn't know that. Is that right? He knows how hard it is. He knows how those folks, how they hurt, and how they, I mean, some of them are blaming him. How many know that? Some people say, if God cared, this would have never happened. But God does care. He sent his son into the world to deliver us. Is that right? Because he cares. God so loved us that he sent his son to die for us. Is that okay? So he does care. But his decisions and what happens on this earth are his decisions. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Are you okay to trust God that he knows what he's doing?
Amen.
Are you okay with that? Yes. The fact of the matter is that he does know what he's doing. Yes. In the eyes of every person that's on the planet, he knows. He knows. He knows. And he knows about you. Is that cool? Is that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. The title of the sermon today is God's Work Within Us. How many know God's working inside of you? If you'll let him. Hallelujah. God's working in you. Sometimes the things that we go through don't feel like God's doing anything in our lives, but he is. So what I want to do, I want to take you to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And this is going to be kind of a different message this morning. When God was giving it to me last night, I said, oh, God, this is a little different, because some of you will know that I do not like talking about the devil in the house of God. It's not that I don't believe in him. Oh, he's out there. Oh, you'll see in Scripture that Jesus dealt with him. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so, I've heard people say, well, you can't see the devil in the house where Henry goes to church, because he doesn't believe in him. He doesn't believe that he exists. Oh, he exists. Is that right? He's out there. Yeah. Yeah, he's out there. But myself, it is my preference that we don't give him any glory and any honor. Anything that happens in the earth, well, the devil did it. Now, well, I would just say, no, just shut up. Is that okay? Because the fact of the matter is a lot of these things we don't know. We don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on. And I will tell you, if you look at the book of Job, that boy can't do anything unless he gets permission. How many believe that? He's got to get permission. So if you will, this guy that we call the devil or demons or all these guys, if you will, these guys are here. Some of you might not even like this statement. They're employed by God. Their employment comes from God. Their deployment comes from God. Some of you guys, man, I don't believe that at all. That don't sound good to me. But hey, just stick with it, okay? Stick with this sermon. Listen to what's being said. John, Pastor John and I, and there's some other folks in this house, Brother Terry, there's some people in this house. We are authorized by God to edify the body of Christ. Whether they want to be edified or not. Is that all right?
Is that okay? How many want to be edified? How many edified means taught, being taught. See, we are authorized because we are pastors and there's teachers in this house. We are authorized to edify the body. But a lot of times the body don't want to get edified. Is that right? They want to stay in the same old place. They've always been. As long as I go to church on Sunday, I'm good. Don't talk to me about talking to somebody out there about something that's going on. Well, folks, these times are changing. God is calling on the body of Christ to be who they are in the earth. There is a shift, if you will, of kingdoms coming. There is a shift of leadership coming on this planet. Can you say amen to that? Come on, man. I'm excited about it. I look at it. I talk about it. I preach about it because God is telling me it's happening. The body of Christ is rising up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you, man, okay. All right. It's all right. It's okay. That's all right. Don't praise God on that. All right. It's okay. Body of Christ is rising up, folks. God is doing things. He's always been doing things. God is not retired. Huh. Isn't that right, John? We're not retired, are we? Come on. Glory to God. So Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, that today, this is the word that you've given this house, at least, for today, Father. Father, I'm asking, Father God, that you would bring, by your Spirit, great understanding of what is happening with this body and with the body of Christ on the earth, Father. Bring great understanding, Father God. No longer do we desire, Father, to be powerless and ineffective. Father, we desire that your glory be seen on the earth, as you said, as the waters cover the sea, Father. So, Father God, touch every heart. To those that believe, Lord, amen, strengthen their belief and their trust and their faith in you. Yes. To those that don't believe, Father, open the blind eyes. Yes. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. If you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here we go. Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1, says, they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, everybody say immediately, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not even with chains. This guy was a powerhouse. Is that right? And too bad he wasn't an NFL player. But nobody could hold on to him, man. They couldn't bind him with chains and he'd get out. Because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Another place I was looking at said broken, and another translation that said they were snapped continually by him. He's a chain breaker. But he's not Jesus. Is that right? How many know that Jesus is a chain breaker? Jesus is able to do things that far abundantly above that we can even ask or think. Glory to God. Excuse me if I get a little excited, because I love Jesus. I think Jesus is the most magnificent thing that mankind could ever look at. Can you say amen to that? Anything. God. When you're looking in the scriptures, you're looking at Jesus. Woo, come on, man. Most magnificent. Can I tell you, I mean, he got off the boat and everything. Can I tell you, the world had never seen anybody like Jesus. Never. Moses didn't raise up. I mean, Moses wasn't like him. Even Adam wasn't like him. The world had never seen anything like Jesus. Woo, come on, man. Yes. Such a sight to behold. Wouldn't you love to see Jesus? Yes. And what he was doing, how he was doing it. Woo, come on, man. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'll start verse 4 again. Because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This guy's a wild man. Look at verse 5. It says, always, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Boy, this guy knew he was in a bad place, and he was crying, weeping, and cutting himself because he didn't like what's going on. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know that people, a lot of times people in chains don't like what's happening? They don't want them. They don't want it to be happening. Yet it happens again and again and again. Hallelujah. And then there's people that want, they, it's almost their chains. They love those chains. Because the Bible says in sin, there's pleasure for a season. But the season will end, friend. Can you say amen to that? That season that fell, that season of pleasure will end. And then what do you got? Crying, weeping. Man, he needed a Savior. Can you say amen to that? It says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, look at what he does. He runs and he worships him. Just like me and you.
Yeah.
He worshiped the King.
Wow. Yeah.
But he knew he was problemed. He knew he had problems. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you do not torment me. It's bad enough I'm being tormented, but not you, Jesus. Don't torment me. Is that right? I don't want you to torment me. If anything, you're an answer to me. I will worship you, but please don't torment me. Praise God. Can you get a sense of where this guy was at? He was in torment already. All I need is Jesus to say to me, well, you know, you need to go to church. You need to buy a Bible, bro. Come on, man. No, he needed things deeper than that. Deep within him. He knew to worship the King. He knew who he was.
Yes.
Torment me not. And look at what it says. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. See, I believe when that man first went to Jesus, he said it then. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Because the man came running to him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Come out. And Jesus called it an unclean spirit. Get out of him. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Talking to these unclean spirits. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was near, under the mountains, a great herd of swine, of pigs, feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, hey, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 in number, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that cool? And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus allowed him not, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men marveled. Praise God. Amen. Well, hey, don't get distracted about the pigs. Okay? Don't get distracted, because I've had a lot of people say, well, why would he do that to a bunch of pigs? I don't know why. I can't tell you why. Only he knows why. You know, they say Jews don't like pigs. But why Jesus allowed them to go in the pigs? Don't get distracted by that. Don't get distracted that these demons got what they wanted. Don't get distracted by that. Because the point is that there was a man that needed deliverance. And the point is that the only one that could bring deliverance, because he had been, the Bible says that he'd been chained. Time after time after time, been chained up. They were trying to corral this guy, and he couldn't be corralled. Man couldn't do anything for him. But Jesus, come on, man. But Jesus was able to deliver him. Like I said, we have never seen anything like Christ. He is so far beyond our imagination. Can you say amen to that? We got no idea about him and the God that we serve. We've got no real ideas, what I'm saying. No real perception of who he is and what he's like. All we've got is a few scriptures. But when we see him, he says, you'll see me like I am. You'll see me as I am. Can you say amen to that? I'm looking forward to this. But there's some work we got to do here on the earth. Can you say amen? We got to allow him to do what he wants to do on this planet. I say, like I told you before, I don't like talking about the devil in here. He gets no place from me. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Is that right?
Right.
Is that what it says?
It does.
Every time you talk about him, you're giving him place. So stop talking about him. Talk about the Lord that delivers you from him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Put that on your lips. Let that be upon what you say. Yeah, there used to be a brother at the church I was going to. He says, yeah, the devil's been after me all week long. Bless his holy name. What the heck was that? What are you talking about? And he say it again. But he was talking about Jesus, bless his holy name. But the way he said it, so are you talking about the devil or Jesus? Hey, well, talk about Jesus. Well, quit saying it that way, bro. Come on, don't sound right.
Yeah.
People take it, you know, that you're blessing the devil, and he ain't holy.
Right.
I'm going to tell you some things about the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this. He that commits sin is of the devil. Everybody go, oh. He that commits sin is of the devil. This is what the Word of God says. I didn't write this. I didn't make it up. It says it in the Word of God. You can find it in your own Bible. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Find it. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. And then, look at it here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many like that word destroy?
Amen.
See, Jesus was this destroyer that came along. Yeah. Send out them torpedoes. Jesus came to destroy the devil. Is that right? How many believe he's destroyed?
Yeah.
He's got nothing on you, folks. He's got nothing on the body of Christ. Unless you let him. Because like I said, I believe he's out there. He is out there. I believe he gets into folks. But not y'all.
Nope.
None of you. Here's another one. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same. He became as flesh and blood. Is that right? He came as a man. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Is that right? Is that what it says? Is the devil destroyed? He might destroy him. Is that right? That has the power of death. That is. Yeah, so quit talking about the devil. You're talking about a destroyed being. Hallelujah. Who's got no power on you. Unless you begin to project it out of your own mouth. Here's that scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. I like 4:27. When I was in high school, I always wanted to get big, big block V8. And I was a Chevy guy. So I wanted a 427 Chevy. I wanted a 427 in my 55 Chevy. Is that okay? Because it's got some power. Is that right? No sense driving an old Chevy unless it's got power in there. Is that right? Anyway, here's the 4:27 verse. It got some power in it. It says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him anything. You give him something, he's going to take it. And take it and take it and take it. You just don't give it to him. He is destroyed. Is that right? Hallelujah. How many know we're in the kingdom of God?
Amen.
How many know that you are of the kingdom, in the kingdom, represent the kingdom? So here's what he says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. This is what Jesus said. Do you remember when Jesus went, he says, right after he got baptized, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit. Is that good? See, a lot of people say, well, Jesus wasn't led by the Spirit. Yes, he was. He did everything the same way we have to do it. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, is what it says. Can you say amen? See, Jesus isn't going to do anything out of character than what we do. Because he is displaying, when he came to destroy sin. And he came to show what a redeemed man looked like. He came to show us what God's full intent of mankind was. Jesus was that walking in the earth. God's intent walking on the earth. Your intent. God's intent in you walking on the earth. With all this power, being led by the Spirit. Folks, don't let yourself lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. There's a big difference in that. One is full of power. The other one's not. Come on, man. One's full of power. The other one's full of pride. Watch how I do it. Let me show you how to do this. No. Be led by the Spirit. The power of God is with you. Come on. So Jesus goes into the wilderness, and the devil tells him, if you're the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. You're hungry, right? He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You're hungry, right? Yeah. Buddy, I'm hungry. What'd Jesus say? It is written. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he takes him up on this pinnacle up somewhere high. He says, hey, jump off, man. If you're the Son of God, go ahead and jump. He said, because the Bible says that the angels of God will hold you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. So jump off and let's see that. Jesus tells him, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I imagine the devil's getting pretty frustrated. So from that same pinnacle, he's up there and he says, look, let me show you something. Hey, Jesus, let me show you something. Look at this. And he sees all the nations of the world. Sees all the kingdoms. He sees the United States, and he sees the Russians. He sees Dubai with their high buildings. He sees everything. And he says, hey, Jesus, see all this? It's mine. Worship me, and I'll give it to you. Yeah. Jesus said, worship you? You chump? No, that's not in the scriptures. No. Are you kidding me? You? No, he didn't say that either. He said, it's written. Love the Lord thy God and worship him, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him. Is that right? So this scripture right here is right when he comes out of that event. And it says right here, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that all right? The kingdom that the world has been waiting for, this kingdom, it's at hand. And it's at hand right now. Is that right? How many of you know that? Where is the kingdom now? Where is it at? It's within you. Is that okay? Is that right? But God is desiring to bring that kingdom up out of you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But he's got to show you some things. He's got to take you through some things. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay if God takes you through stuff? Because he'll always take you through. If he takes you somewhere, he doesn't just leave you there. If he takes you, he's gonna bring you out of it. And he's in it, you're going to have a testimony.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have strength poured into you because of what he's taking you through. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32 says this. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. All of what things? When he said this in Matthew, he says, don't be worried about the clothes that you put on, the food that you eat. He says, for that's what the people of the world, let's just call them the non-kingdom people, think. He says, but you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Not only the food and the clothing, those are minor things, but he's talking everything you need. Every possible thing that you might need in your lifetime is provided to you through this kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's his promise. That's what we should be standing on. You got to seek him for this kingdom. Seek him. And then he says, but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And then he says, fear not, little flock. Everybody go, bah. Yeah, man. Come on, man. Come on. Come on, Johnny. Let me hear the big one. Bah. No, he doesn't. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How many know that? That's true. He wants you to have the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. But sometimes, folks, it's not just reading the Bible. It is walking and talking and walking with the Lord and having him take you through things. Can you say amen to that? He will show you things by what you go through. The Bible in I think it's second, let me look. I don't think I gave you this one, Terry. I might have. I knew I should have given you this morning because I knew it was going to come up. I had it in my spirit and I didn't. Let me see. It's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. I had it in my spirit. I said it this morning when we were praying before church. But here it is. It says, not yet. There we're ready here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is that right? You can say any man or woman be in Christ. He or she is a new creature. Is that right?
Yeah.
He or she's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And I want to tell you something. This says it only in the King James, like it, this next verse. Verse 18 says this, and all things are of God.
Ow.
Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see where it says all things are of God? He's talking about everything you go through. You're a new creation. So now everything that comes to you, everything that heads into your direction is of God. Didn't you say amen to that? That goes along with the scripture that says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That all things are of God. Folks, we got to reconcile ourselves with that. Like it says, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile that God knows what he's doing and he knows how to train us, how to teach us, how to bring us along. You don't need a man to teach you. What you need is the Holy Ghost to teach you.
Yes.
Period. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Ordained. By God, the Holy Spirit has been sent to teach you. And he uses men like myself, Pastor John, pastors and teachers and men that are in connection with God to speak the things that God, like I say, he's given us authority for edification of the body of Christ. That's where you're going to find it. You'll find it in Ephesians that he gave pastors, teachers, evangelists, what else? Apostles. There's four. One more. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. Thank you. The fivefold ministry. If you guys ever look at, if you get a chance, I don't talk about it much, but God showed me a hub on the ground, and it had five spokes. And this, it looked like a wagon wheel actually laying on the ground. It had this hub, five spokes. It had a rim on it, but the rim was yet to be complete. It wasn't ready yet. And God, when God spoke to me, I said, God, what's this? What are you showing me? He says, this church is a hub. It's going to send people out. People are going to come in. They're going to go out, in and out, in and out. That's fine. That's fine with me. I will send is what he said. I'll send them in. I'll send them out. Don't corral my people. This is one of the instructions he gave us. Isn't that right, John? Don't corral them. Let them go when they feel a call by me to go. Let them go. Who am I, God? Like we said, who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Is that right? Who am I? So I said, well, why is the rim not finished? Because the fivefold ministry is ministering to the body of Christ. Wait till that rim hits. You're gonna see the kingdom. Ooh, come on, bro. That's a vision. I said, yeah, God, give me some more of this stuff. Amen. He's given us this ministry to edify the body of Christ.
Yes.
You might not recognize it. You might not care. But it is authority to edify. So why I'll say to you things that you never heard before. It's why I'll bring things up to tell you about a kingdom that is coming that looks exactly like the one in heaven. Because he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People criticize me. Listen, folks, listen. And it's okay. I'm okay. People criticize me because I say there's no death. We don't have to deal with death anymore. People criticize that. But all I'm saying is like it is in heaven, that's how God wants it on the earth. That's all I'm saying. And it's because of our mindset, we got to say, oh, no, everybody dies. Oh, shut up already.
Yeah.
You died at the cross.
Yeah.
You died. It is given unto man once to die. That's what the scripture says. Oh, did I break something? One time. Henry, you're an idiot. You think you'd live forever? I'm going to live as long as God wants me to live.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, because I walk not according to the law of the spirit of life. I walk not according to the spirit of the law of death and sin. I walk according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's how I walk. So, yeah, you probably say, well, you don't look any younger. Well, yeah, I do. I'm only 22.
Yeah.
But see, it's because God had spoken to me. When he showed me a vision of this church tonight, he gave me a word of my calling. He gave it to me. This is why a lot of folks, there's a lot of guys that I've talked to pastors, say, what did God tell you? What's your word of your calling? They got no idea what I'm talking about. Well, I want to be a pastor. Yeah, whatever. I never want to be a pastor. But God gave me a calling word. He gave me a vision, and then he spoke a word into my heart. And he said, preach the word, be instant season, out of season, rebuke. With all long suffering and doctrine, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all along, that's a word that's in my heart that God gave me for this ministry. Without that word, I could not do what I'm doing today, because I am instructing by authority to bring edification to the body of Christ. You might not get it. You don't care. I don't care about that. I think he's wrong, whatever. Who cares? I don't care. God knows your heart. He just tells me what to tell you. That's it. We are a little different church, folks. We're not like the nominal church that's out there. They go over the things, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A lot of them are like that. Always studying, always going to seminars, always going to college teachings in the scriptures or whatever. Come on, man. You got the Holy Spirit. Get in your closet. Let him teach you. Those are things that God is calling into the earth. He wants you to hear him and him alone. But he sets up men and women with a calling of authority to edify the body of Christ. That's just what it is. Don't matter what you think, whether I'm right or wrong. It doesn't matter to me. I died, and I belong to him. Hallelujah. God has given us a ministry to reconcile the body of Christ, the people of God, God's people that he's called, to reconcile that God is working in their lives, that God is understanding who they are and what they need, and will give it to them. Is that okay? Is that all right? Now, there's some things that I'm going to say this to you. There are disturbing things calling on the sound of your faith. How many of you know we go through some disturbing things? Is that right? Yeah. How many know that? New Mexico and Texas, these are some disturbing things. They're disturbing. But they're calling on your faith. Everything that's disturbing to you calls on your faith. I was talking to my son, and he was, we were talking, and he was telling me about a word that his pastor gave, and man, I really sensed God saying something really profound in it, and I said, yeah, I loved it. I loved our discussion on it. I love talking to my son. He's a minister. I don't know if you guys know, we're a family of ministers. That's all we do. We're not really heart set on certain things, but we minister. We are a family of ministers. Yes. But one of the things he was telling me, he goes, I want you to, Dad, look at your guitar. And he goes, it's got strings that make noise. Is that right? They make sounds. Is that okay? But you can talk to it all day long for it to make sound. Make sounds. Make sounds. Hey, make sounds. Hey. You, E string, both ends. Make songs. Make sounds. Make a sound. Make a sound. They won't make a sound. Is this on? They won't make a sound until it's disturbed. Do you understand that? Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It won't make a sound until it gets disturbed. It's the disturbing things that calls on the sound of your faith. Can you say amen to that? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Do disturbing things. Harmony of disturbing things. Is that right? Do you understand what we're saying?
Yes.
It's disturbing things. So don't let disturbing things shut you down.
Come on.
Those disturbing things are calling on you. It's calling on your faith. It's saying, make a sound. If anything, make a sound. This disturbing thing that Jesus, hey, if you're the Son of God, him being the Son of God could be very disturbing to hear that. Is that right? Yeah, I'm the Son of God. Make a sound. Make this bread. His sound was, it's written. That was his sound. The word of God. My word. He gave to that. You see, things are going to happen in your life. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. 2, 3, and 4 says this. Brethren, brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Let's just call that disturbances. Knowing that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire. I like that word perfect. How many like the word perfect? See, God is desiring that you be perfect in all things.
Come on.
The only way to get there is to listen to him, especially in the disturbances. Can you say amen?
Amen.
These disturbances are designed for something. One night I had a disturbance in my house. We had prayed, and then she would go to one room and I'd go to the other room, and we were praying, and it's late before we were going to bed, so we were praying. And I finished praying, and I went and laid down in the bed, and I was nice. And then I hear the door slam from the room she was in, and she comes running in, she jumps in the bed, and she's shivering like a leaf. I go, are you okay? She goes, did you hear that? I go, hear what? I didn't hear nothing. She goes, I was praying, and this low voice said, that's enough. She said she heard that, and she boom, took off. And she slammed the door. She was pretty. And I go, honey, so there's nothing. That's not. You know, I was just trying to calm her down. And I'm laying there. I'm just thinking about what she's telling me. And all of a sudden, right above our bed, I see, and when the lights are off, and I see this darkness come in. And it starts swirling around my bed. And I'm looking at it. I go, what in the world is this? What's this? And I'm looking, and then all of a sudden, I could see it. It drops down at the end of the bed, and I feel my feet. Everything in my feet were getting cold. I felt it rising up in me. I believe, was a spirit of fear. It was rising up in me, and it got to about mid-second, and I sat up. I said, no.
Come on.
I jumped out of bed.
Yeah.
And at that time, I would anoint everything. You walked in my house, I'd throw oil on you. Friend of mine, Matt, every time he rented a car, he'd throw oil in there. Let whatever's been driving in here, man, let it out. You know what I mean? But at that time, I was an anointing guy with oil. Later on, God showed me, I am the anointing. My word is the anointing. Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Amen.
The oil is a representation of who he is. Is that okay? Is that better for you? So I got up. I'm praying in tongues. I'm at the north corner. South corner. East corner. And I'm praying in my house. Rosie's praying in bed. And I get over to that door where she was at. And I heard this. You open that door, you're going to see something that will kill you. Yeah, and I grabbed that doorknob, I opened it up, turned the light on, and guess what I saw? An empty bedroom. praise God. Went over to the corner, praise God. And I put oil in it. Rosie comes out. She goes, whatever it was, it's gone.
Wow.
See, God let me have that. That was a gift.
Yes.
That was a gift because God wants me to know how to handle these things. You handle them by the anointing that dwells in you. Hallelujah. Rebecca was having trouble. Well, she called me up one day in the house. The guy she was, they were taking, there was three or four nurses that were taking care of this guy. And Rebecca told me, she said, you know, Dad, they're hearing things at night, you know. I said, really? Yeah, okay. Well, she calls me up one morning. She goes, hey, the lady on graveyard just quit. I said, why? She said, she can't take it anymore. In the middle of the night, she smells perfume. The guy lives by himself. She smells perfume. She said, in the middle of the night, lights will go on and off. Folks, what we're talking about are unclean spirits.
Yeah.
We're just talking about, I mean, there's nothing to fear. Oh, they want you to be afraid. They want to shake your world. But see, your world's already been shaken by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you've got something that they can't even compare to. Lights are going on, going off. Lady sleeps on the couch at night. She doesn't really have to do a lot of work because the guy sleeps at night, so all she has to do is just make sure he doesn't have any problems in the night. So she's asleep on the couch, and this whatever it is sits down next to her on the couch. She feels it sit down. She flips around and turns on the light. Nothing there. So when Rebecca gets to work, Rebecca even told me, she goes, you know, Charlie asked me, why do you keep sitting on my bed in the middle of the night? Rebecca, I'm not even here in the middle of the night. And she goes, nobody comes and sits on your bed. She goes, somebody does. She thought that was odd. But then this young lady, she says, that's it. I've had enough. I can't stand this house. There's something weird about this house. So my daughter calls me. She goes, Dad, yeah, we got a problem over here. I said, yeah? What's the problem? She goes, Dad, I think there's a spirit here. I said, really? She goes, can you come over and pray? I said, nope. No, I'm not going over there. Are you crazy? No, I didn't say that to her. This is what I said. You have the authority by the Holy Ghost that's in you. You take control of that thing. You tell it to get out. You tell it whatever it is that comes up in your heart, but you speak to it because God wants you to know how to handle this. This is your test, not mine. It's your test. See, all the times they want to call a pastor. Let's get the pastor over to do something. No, man. All they need is an anointed man or woman of God that believes in the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. And then all the glory goes to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your training season. These are your training seasons. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Do you understand that things you... Because I will tell you, folks, as the body of Christ in the earth today, with a kingdom uprising within every person in this kingdom,
yeah.
Can I say something to you? You're going to see things like that.
Yeah.
You're going to see things that are calling on your faith. It's a disturbance calling on your faith so that you might go and speak to the thing that it might be removed.
Amen.
Why God does it? I said, God, why don't you just get all them things off the earth? No, it's because he needs them for us.
Yes.
That sounds weird, don't it? Sounds weird. But these things happen so that the body of Christ can drink. Muscles popping out, man. Spiritual muscles.
Yeah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Yes.
Know that God is in control.
Yeah.
Know that everything that happens to you is under his watchful eye.
Yeah.
And that he is teaching you and training you, showing you how to operate in a kingdom that is soon to be revealed in this earth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 24. This has our power verse in it, or our key verse in it. But it says, now we exhort you, brother and sister, Could you guys stand? We're ready to call it a day here. Can you say amen to that? I'm ready to go home, have some
tacos.
Come on. Hallelujah. Anybody? Come on, tacos? No. Now we exhort you, brethren. In other words, you know, these, like I say, we have authority to edify. We exhort you, brothers and sisters. Listen. Warn them that are unruly. Don't be unruly. I'm warning you. Aha, how's that? Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. I try as hard as I can to be patient. But you know what? Most of the time I find that I can't be patient enough. I have to rely on him. I have to step into what he wants. Then I go, I'm patient. I can become patient. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But forever follow that which is good. Amen?
Amen.
Follow that which is good. The Holy Ghost is a good person to follow. Is that right? Follow him.
Amen.
Both among yourselves and to all men, rejoice evermore. Everybody, amen?
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Yeah.
In everything, rejoice.
Amen.
Be thankful that God has disturbed your life because he's teaching you something. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Sometimes it seems like in everything we all complain. Complain. Give thanks in everything. Can you say amen to that? No matter what, it says everything. What does everything mean? Everything means everything, right? You wrecked your car. Does it mean that? Isn't that right, Randy? Car burned up. Is that right? Give thanks, right? Right. Give thanks. Thank God. Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks. For this is whose will? God's will.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
This is what he wants. Next. Quench not the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Despise not prophesyings. You know what those are? Preachings. When we say, despise them. Some people walk out and say, I hope none of you do, but somebody might walk out and say, man, I hate to hear that guy. I'm not coming back. It's okay. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Is that right? Whatever you hear, you got to test it, folks. You have to. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that what the Word of God says? It says, hey, if it looks evil, get away from it. Is that right?
Amen.
Abstain from every appearance of evil, and the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. Is that okay?
Amen.
And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. This is what God's after. He's after you for your spirit, your soul, and your body. I don't have time to go through all the teachings of this, but this mainly the spirit is your conscience, your communion. Your spirit, your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Notice that the spirit is the first word, right? Spirit is the first word. It's the one that should be on top. You should be led by your spirit. Led by the spirit, being talking to your spirit. And then your mind comes in. Let your mind, like the Word of God says, renew the way you think. Once it's renewed, when those two are agreeing, now your body has got to come in line. This is where healing begins to flow because of the oneness that comes with the Holy Ghost. Woo. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I don't know when he's coming. How many know when he's coming?
Nope.
But I want to be blameless until then. Is that right? And you are ready. Are you saying that? Are you saying that it could be another 50 years? Yeah. Well, bro, I'm 80. Well, that's okay. You'll be 130. Is that okay? Whatever. Yeah. Come on, man. Don't be afraid of these things. Faithful is he that called you. Is that right?
Yes.
He'll also do it. He'll preserve you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you, Father, that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Father, not our ways, but your ways. Your will be done, Father, in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing on the earth today. Father, it's okay if you disturb us. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you for coming this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.